In some studies of psychology, there is a rather popular and somewhat humorous experiment that students will engage in which a couple of them would go to a crowded area, say a carnival or a mall, town square, and one or two of them will stand in the middle of pretty much everything, just simply looking up into the sky, doing nothing but just looking up. And one or two others, with their notebooks in hand, will be off to the side, noting how frequently, how often, and how many of the bystanders, people walking by, will stop, see them, and then look up to see exactly what they're looking at. And I always get that image when I tell the story or hear the story of our first reading, the Acts of the Apostles, where Jesus has been taken up into heaven, and he leaves behind not one, not two, but 11 men looking intently up into the sky. And so focused are they on where Jesus has departed that they don't even notice the men in white coming by doing exactly that. What are you looking at? Why are you looking in so intently up in the sky? And perhaps we see in that exchange with the men in white, the whole dynamic of what we're celebrating here today in the Feast of the Ascension of Jesus. We're at the beginning of the end of our Easter season, but it's not the end. We still have another week, and we'll be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost next week, and that will bring the end of our 50-day celebration of Easter, and that whole process that began with the 40 days of Lent beginning on Ash Wednesday. But even there, that is not the end. There are many denominations of Christianity that spend a lot of time and a lot of study of Scripture trying to calculate exactly when Jesus will return. And there have been times when the return of Jesus has been calculated, and they sit and they wait for that moment they've calculated when Jesus will return. And lo and behold, he doesn't. So they return to their studies of Scripture and what the signs are said here and what is indicated there. They seem to notice every part of the Scripture except the places where Jesus said, "No one knows, not even the Son, only the Father." And like today's first reading, he says, "It's not for you to know this." And perhaps there's a very, very good reason for that. Because what does he say? The gospel must be preached to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem, where they would wait for the Spirit to come. He says, "Wait in the city until you are anointed from on high." In other words, there is a future for these men, and a rather long future at that. This does not mark the end of all things, Jesus departing, and we are not so fixated on when he is coming again that we forget his basic command of evangelization. Granted, we have in our prayers, we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Among the last lines in the entire Bible at the end of the book of Revelation are, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." We await his return in glory, but we are not fixated upon that. That's not even the primary focus of what we are all about. And we see that in the angels, or the men in white, saying, "Why are you looking up in the sky? You've got work to do. Why are you standing there looking up into the sky?" And we see that basic contrast of what we are all about as followers of Christ. We do not fixate on when Jesus will come. We just know he will. He's promised. We focus on his command to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to make disciples of all the nations. We don't fixate with our minds or our eyes gazed upward, waiting for Jesus to come again. We have work to do. We need to get busy. And we know there are various ways in which people can. You know, we do know there are some Christians who are constantly looking up in the sky, focusing only on Jesus' imminent return. At the same time, there are those who don't focus on anything. Their eyes are lowered, and they do not focus on anything. Perhaps to them, the men in white might say, "Why are you looking downward? You need to be looking outward." And as is our culture is prone to nowadays, People are looking neither upwards or downwards, but focused inward, in which they are the measure of all things. They are the measure of what they think God is, whether it's over orientation or philosophy or self-importance, who knows. We are at times, nowadays especially, very much an inward-focused culture. And we certainly wouldn't want to be among those to whom the men in white ask, men of Galilee, men of the church, men and women of faith, why are you standing there looking at yourselves? Why are you standing there looking inward? We have work to do. And our focus must always be outward, on the task that Christ has given us, the work that Christ has given us to do. And perhaps the best metaphor to what we're celebrating today, I don't know about the best, but at least it's one and appropriate for today, is in what we are celebrating as a nation. As we're celebrating Mother's Day, the call and vocation to be women who raise children. What do we have in that whole life of being a mother? There's the anticipation of pregnancy. There are the pains of labor. There's the intense joy of giving birth to a child. But it doesn't end there. We know perhaps for some it does. They fixate so much on their wonderful children, the happiness of their children. I mean, let's face it, folks. Time was when your child came home with bad grades, you got angry at the child. Now, more often than not, your child comes home with bad grades and they get angry at the teacher. Because my child is getting bad grades. They want to keep that eternal joy of the birth and the pride of motherhood and parenthood. And they forget that even after the joy of birth, they've got work to do in raising the children. And sometimes the work is very joyous. Sometimes it's not so much, especially when the child is going through their terrible twos or their early teenage years. And I know, for one, can tell you, as a priest, how difficult it can be to be a parent, not because I'm a parent, obviously, but I'll tell you, there is no moment of terror greater for a priest than that moment when a toddler discovers that their voice echoes in church. Because they want to scream again to hear the echo. It is a difficult task if one is a parent of a child with special needs. There are great struggles and challenges, joys and sorrows. Parents who have lost children, either through miscarriage or in childhood. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you're not supposed to outlive your children. And yet that is an experience of parenthood, and especially of motherhood, who nurtured those children within them. Just like we see in the whole dynamic of Christ, there was the anticipation of the Messiah, his presence on earth, his suffering on the cross, the joy of the resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, but that is not the end. Just like in motherhood, Holy Mother Church has work to do that involves great struggles, great joys, great sorrows. We overcome our vices, we celebrate our virtues, we continue to strive to be those faithful sheep to our shepherd, those faithful children to our mother, the church. And so what we celebrate today is not an ending, but just a beginning. As one of the saints in today's Office of Readings tells us, Jesus left his position on earth so that he could be more universally present to the church throughout the world, as we continue the work that Jesus gave us. And so on this Mother's Day, in which we are also crowning our Mother Mary, symbol and model of the church and all discipleship, as we just yesterday celebrated the confirmation of many of our young people who are taking on that mature fulfillment of their baptismal promises to engage and participate in the work we have been given to do. And just as yesterday, we also, with our school children, and last week with our CCD children, celebrated their first communions so that they can continue to grow in their preparation for confirmation, to be strong Catholic men and women in our church. We remember on this day, yes, Jesus left us, but he also left us work that must be done. So let us not stand with our eyes fixated on the heavens, wondering and trying to exactly calculate when Jesus will come again. Let us not continue with our eyes lowered to the ground, not doing anything, with no focus anywhere. Let us be contrary to today's culture, in which the focus is on the self, in which God is defined by how we understand ourselves. Let us have our focus outward to the world that Jesus gave us to evangelize, starting with your children, continuing with our students, within our individual communities, and ultimately engage and participate in the work that Jesus gave us to evangelize throughout the world. We celebrate today the day in which Jesus departed. But let us not see that as an end. Let us see it as a renewal, a restoration, and a hearing once again in the commission that Jesus gave us as he left. He will come again in glory someday. Until then, we have work to do.